Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
God is in his holy temple, that the whole earth be quiet before him. Now, it doesn't mean we don't shout when we're supposed to shout. It means that we should, every time we are not supposed to make noise or whatever, we keep quiet and just listen. God is always speaking. And I believe that God has a word for somebody here tonight. Amen. Yes. So, just before we get to the last part of it, I want you to pay attention, rapt attention. I'll just build up a little bit from where I stopped yesterday. And give us one point that I think is very essential. That's what we're going to pick up today. Then we get into the worship session. Are we good now? Glory to God. So I started sharing with us yesterday. I said one of the things that a lot of people battle with today in this dispensation, in this generation, is struggle with patterns. So you realize that certain people discover that they are becoming like the people that gave birth to them. Sometimes you almost can practically picture yourself living the kind of lives that the people before you lived, like as if it's a family pattern. And there are two sides to the family patterns. Now, the first part is the part that has to do with spiritual forces ensuring that a person repeats the same mistakes, do the exact same thing, and come to the same pitfall as those before them. Then the second part is the spiritual forces have a hand in it, but you also have a part to play. It has to do with discipline and character building, where you are telling yourself, I know that this is the common thing that affects people in my family. Maybe they have anger issues. Maybe it is something that has to do with nobody ever getting married the right way. They have to always, you know, marry out of wedlock and struggle through it. And you want to be the beginning of a new order. You want to be that person that will set the pace. You want to be that person that will break the record. You want to be the person that will be the line crosser. Because the Bible says, saviors shall arise from Mount Zion. In other words, you're saying to yourself, I will not allow the same thing that stop other people stop me. I'm a different person. But I understand, and the reason why most of the times we usually don't share so much in this line, that's the truth. That's the truth. I believe that many of our people in church, you know, for some of us, it's a little bit strange that I'm beginning to teach some things like this for this period. I'm doing it intentionally because of the encounter that I told you that I had. And every time God wants to speak to people, when he speaks to one, he speaks to all. So many people do not realize, because we are coming from somewhere. All of us will have to know that. We are coming from somewhere. When the Gentiles came into the church, three significant things that the apostles told them. The apostles had to, it's just like holding somebody by the ear and saying, these are the things you must know. So yesterday I laid the foundation and I said that altars are powerful and families have altars. Before you were born, there are certain things in your family lineage that they usually would serve. There are certain gods because they lived with gods and goddesses that they were serving. They had all these things as their source of protection, as their source of healing, as their source of help. Then all of a sudden, Christianity is here. So the Bible is a compendium of the Old and the New Testament. The reason is because God wants people to read what had happened before so that they will know where they are now. Many times I look at the 21st century Christian, a lot of people, you go to churches all around the world and you see people who are just there. They are just, many people are just excited about church. They are just excited about, you know, especially 21st century church, maybe the ambience, maybe the song, the music and all that. But they have not seriously made up their mind to have a connection with God. And laying the foundation yesterday, I told us that in discussing altars, every time we talk about an altar, it's usually the negative part that we remember. We are not supposed to remember the negative part first. If we look into our own history, because God told Abraham, come out of your father's house. Then I showed you in the book of Ezekiel yesterday that Abraham's father, Terah, was idol worshiper, practical idol worshiper. In other words, they had idols that they were worshiping before God called Abraham out of his father's house. Why did God call him out? He said, come out. I don't want you to be part of that thing. I have seen what they're doing. I am God, and I want you to come out. I want to set up a new race, a new kind of people that will not serve idols, but will serve me. So Abraham left everything and he came out of his father's house, and God said to a land that I will show you, I will make you of a great, make a great nation out of you. I will bless you massively. I will transform your life so that every other person will see and know that you serve God. So somehow along the line, Abraham left his father's house and he started following. And Abraham, the Bible says, he had an encounter with God. He had an encounter with God and he built an altar. But before Abraham built the altar, I showed you yesterday in Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, how Noah built an altar to God. Is that not? And the Bible says God perceived a smelling savour, a sweet smelling savour. And after God had that, he entered into an agreement and a covenant with Noah. And he said, never again will I destroy the earth. Why? As soon as the altar was set up, God showed up right there at the altar. And he had an agreement with Noah. And he said, I will never destroy the earth again with water. No matter what man does, no matter how terrible their evil, it will not be water any longer. And that covenant is still standing today. And many times, many of us just go around, those who are not believers, who are not Christians, they don't understand the reason why they see the rainbow. They don't even understand. They're just walking out. And that's why we have too many ignorant people who are questioning and arguing scriptures. Because if you go back to the pages of scripture, every single argument that anybody tries to raise, you can quiet them when you go to scripture. In Genesis chapter 8, God told Noah, he said, because of this singular act, he said, the Lord said to his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Go ahead now. Let's read fast. Let's do a recap. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and winter, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not do what? Cease. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. The same thing he said to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam lost it. As soon as Noah raised an altar, God came again and said, the same thing I said to Adam that Adam had lost, I am saying to you, Noah, this is a fresh covenant. Be fruitful and do what? Multiply. Then God said, I have given you a token of the covenant. Somewhere, if you read down, you see God gave him a token of the covenant. And he told them about the rainbow, that whenever it is that you realize that it is raining and it looks so tough, please help me with the sound. Yeah, Christmas. When you see the sign, it tells you of the faithfulness of God. It reminds you that no matter how bad the rain goes, God will not come to destroy men again. But you see how people go around town. They don't even have an idea or a clue as to what brought about that. It was an altar that was raised. In other words, altars still speak. Altars speak. They are powerful. They are potent. One day when God called Abraham out of his father's house, in Genesis chapter 2, 12, verse 7 to 8. Genesis chapter 12. Okay, look at it now. You see there, I set my rainbow in the cloud and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and what? The earth. In other words, God still has a covenant with the earth now. How many years since when the whole world was created? So after serious rain, we eventually see the rainbow. Let's move to the next thing now. Let's move fast. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 to 8. Genesis chapter 12, 7 to 8. Genesis chapter 12. He said, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he did what? He built an altar to the Lord. Who had God? Appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and I on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord. And what was he doing on the altar? He called on the name of the Lord God. An altar is a place of interaction where covenants are made or a memorial is set up and an agreement is made between spirits and humans. And when an altar is set up, the altar has to be serviced. The altar has to be serviced. There's what you call the servicing of an altar. That means there are certain things that you do upon the altar. Some of us grew up seeing, maybe your parents or in the village, they usually get a particular spot in the house where they pour libation or where they do something. Those of you probably grew in the village, or those of you that grew in Lagos and they usually serve Ogun. Those that serve Ogun in Lagos, they still do that.
And some other people have other gods that they serve in different parts of the world where they pour libation. Now, they are not just doing that thing for fun. They are saying that they are in agreement with the gods who for one time or the other did something for them. And I told you that those people who ran to those gods, especially Africans, they did not know anything about scriptures. They did not have the Christian faith. They did not have anything. So when their enemies come to attack them, they need help. And those spirits and demons showed up for them, helped them fight their enemies, and they eventually won. They are sick and they have an epidemic in town and they don't know what to do about it. Then a spirit somehow shows up and says, I will help you. And they say, enter an agreement with me that if you help me to take this sickness away from myself and my family, this is how we will serve you all the days of our lives. And they enter a covenant. And many times we are not aware that covenants are strong, powerful, potent, and they are binding. And when an altar is raised, the altar only will hibernate. It does not shut down. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? I'm laying a foundation for something that I want to say so that you can prepare your heart. Then in Genesis chapter 26 verse 25, Abraham now did his own tradition of raising an altar. Then you see Isaac also came somewhere. Genesis chapter 26 verse 25, see Isaac. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord God. And he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servant dug a well. In other words, Isaac came to his own time also. And he decided that, well, this is what I know my father has been doing. This is the practice of my father. Remember, Abraham had left his own father and their idol and everything. So he has started something new. The only way Abraham will be able to sustain what he has started so that the things that his father served will not fight him is to ensure that he has a solid relationship with the new deity that he now serves. If he has no solid relationship with that deity, that one that the father served will come looking for him, because the father must have entered an agreement somehow in one way or the other. Am I communicating? So here's Isaac. Then let's look at Genesis chapter 28 verse 10. Genesis chapter 28 verse 10. Genesis chapter 28 verse 10. The Bible says, now Jacob went from Beersheba and went down to Haran. Go ahead. So he came to a certain place. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it on his head. And he laid down in that place to do what? To sleep. Go ahead now. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. And its top reached unto heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending. In other words, he never knew that an altar was built there. And who built the altar in Bethel first? Abraham. So he was just wondering. He didn't plan to stop there. He was just going. Somehow, the spirit of that altar began to summon Jacob to the same place where his father had done something. The spirit of the altar. Some of us come to a point where you say something like, I don't know. You have gone everywhere. You have done many things. But your mother or your father has been a solid praying woman. But no matter how far you go, it's as if something is drawing you back. The spirit of the altar that has been raised. There are spirits upon altars, and they have the ability to summon a person to say, somebody entered a covenant on your behalf, and this is where you will belong. Is anybody getting what I'm sharing tonight? So somehow he dreamed and he saw a ladder, and it was happening like that. Go ahead, verse 13 now. The Bible says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am. He didn't say the Lord of Tara, because the connection has now been broken. The covenant that Terah had was with other gods. Abraham had entered a new covenant with God. So God started to introduce him that the God that you are serving is not the one of your father Terah. It's not the one of your great-great-great-grandfather Terah. Rather, your father Abraham has entered a new covenant. He has built an altar. There is a foundation that is now speaking for your life. There is a foundation that is now speaking into your destiny. So God came. He said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and Isaac, and the God of who? Isaac. Why? What Abraham did, Isaac continued. If Isaac had left that and did not do it, the altar will remind him that there was something Isaac was supposed to do that he did not do. And guess what? It is easier, and it becomes a common practice in traditional religions. You know why? Because people don't read the Bible. If you read the Bible very well, you will see that everything you see in African tradition is a copycat of what is in Scripture. The devil is a fine copyman. Everything that God has done, to the extent that he can copy, he begins to copy it. He begins to practice it. He begins to try. He begins to do everything to ensure that he will copy. Why? He had never mirrored anything before. he was created by God, and all that he saw in heaven and the things he sees God do are the things he tries to mirror, to the extent he has disguised himself as an angel of light. Are you getting what I'm saying? I want you to pay attention, because some people are just walking around town. They just enter church and think that because you are entering church and you are shouting and you are rejoicing means that certain forces will not contend with your life. No, there must be something that you hold on to. It says, they that do know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploit. He said, I'm the God. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Who did God say that to first? Abraham. He repeated it to Isaac, and he has come to Jacob. He's saying, I am a covenant-keeping God. If you enter an agreement with me, I will ensure that I finish the whole lines and the details of the agreement. I promise him that I will give him everything. I promise him that he will own everything. And somehow, reading the New Testament, how come we see that Lazarus had a bosom where he sat? It is called the bosom of who? Abraham. And the Bible records that Abraham is the father of faith. He's the first person that stood in that gap. The Bible says Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted unto him as what? Righteousness. So from the Old Testament, Abraham moved himself into the New Testament. And the Bible says, now that you are born again, actually, you have now become the sons and daughters of Abraham. Why? He was the first man. He raised an altar. When Jesus came, let me not rush this thing. Let me just say this here. He now says, the land on which I will give to you. Go ahead. Just as Abraham believed God. Also to your descendants shall be the dust of the earth. Shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Go ahead. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. It's an altar. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Go ahead. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know. In other words, he woke up and he said, wow, this is a transaction point. Spirits are, it's not everywhere. Listen, God is everywhere, omnipresent, but there is a place where God shows himself present. That is called the manifest presence of God. These are altars, are places where you see something happening. That's why you see people who say, go to three road junctions here, go to so-so place. They know what has been poured in those places, and they know that if they visit those corners, something will always speak there. Don't be afraid when you see those things. Know that the real positive one is from God himself. Altars are powerful. And that's why all of us must understand the need for a personal altar that you have with God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob arose in the morning and took the stone that he had put on his head, set it upon as a pillar, and poured what? Oil on top of it. The same spirit is saying, service the altar. And he called the name of the place what? Bethel. He did not know that it was the same place his father called Bethel. He got there and he also called the name of the place what? Bethel. By inspiration, he knew that that's what that place would be called. But the name of the city had been what? Luz previously. Can you see it now? Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, the same way African parents made vows when they went to that shrine and they said, say something, if you will protect me, if you will keep your children, if you will give me a child, if you make us prosperous. There are some families that are slave families and poor. They were fighting in ancient days, and they came to altars and said, if you break slavery from us and give us wealth, we will serve you all the days of our life. Then you begin to hear people bear different names. They'll be bearing names like Ifa Sheyi, Shongo, Tedo. You hear names like what? Ifa Niyi, Choniyi. You begin to hear names like what again? Name them. Ogundimu. Oshungbemi. What was one again? Let me hear from here. What? Ogunlano. Are you getting the gist? You need to know the roots. In Igbo land, you begin to hear people say their names are Njoku. You hear them mention some names and they say Abba. Now, when you hear those names, they are names attached to deities. When you don't know where people are coming from, when things fight them, you don't know what they're supposed to do. These were the things that people believed in. And some of us are seated here, that name is still on you, even though you have changed your name. When you change your name, Christ comes into your heart and stays with you. But I always advise that by privilege, if you can, remove yourself from all those nonsense. Jesus Christ met people and he changed their names. And he said, you have been called unstable. He said, let them not call you unstable again. I want to call you rock. Why? Names have influence and impact on people. Many years ago, a guy got into the university, and when he got to the university, they usually call him Okuta when they were in secondary school. Okuta, Okuta, Okuta. So he got to the university, and his friends started calling him Okuta, Okuta. As soon as they started calling him name, the court guys just hooked him. Like anybody they can call Okuta, the heart must be very strong. In other words, the name was a pointer. And that was how he got hooked. That's how he got hooked and started cultism and everything. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? No, what I'm saying, this should not be strange to you. These are practical things. Because as I speak now, if I say stand up, some of us are still bearing those names. Pastor Tunji Olubayo, his name before was Shobayo. And he said, no. Abraham was initially called Abram. And God said, for where you are going to, you cannot be called Abram. Your name will now be called what? Abraham. Disconnecting him from what his father gave him, he now called him Father of Nations. Jacob was born and called supplanter. Supplanter, Jacob, cheat, somebody who cheats. And when his father looked at it, he got to a point. He was supposed to come to the point and the height God had ordained for him. Despite the heritage, he was bearing a name that could not carry that kind of glory. So somehow, he had wrestled with an angel. And after he wrestled with the angel, he was asking, help me was what he was asking. Change my story. I can't continue like this. Then the angel, who knew the root of the problem, he asked him, what is your name? In other words, I need to know what's wrong with you. And he said, my name is Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but what? Israel. As a prince, you have wrestled with men and with God. The Bible says, immediately he said that to him, the sun rose over Jacob. And that was the beginning of a new life. Is anybody get what I'm saying tonight? So get to understand that these things might be real. I shared new creation on Sunday so that you can know how powerful you really are first. So that you don't hear these things and you are scared and say, hey, no, I don't want any atom of fear should not be entertained. But you need to understand that there are powers, there are forces, there are demons. In fact, why I'm sharing this is because many people, especially young guys of today, somebody will take you to an alpha. They will make marks for you and say if they talk to somebody on your behalf, they will be responding. They are connecting you back to a demonic altar. Why? There are two forces and two powers. One stands here as God, light. The other one stands here as what? Darkness, Satan. Every other altar that anybody calls, any name, wherever they take you to, whether they bait you with sponge or they make mark on you or they tell you whatever and they say it's an alpha or it's a baba or something, they are dragging you back to the demonic forces. And guess what? At the initial stage, it will look like it is working. But nobody does any bargain with Satan and comes back the same. There's a time frame, an expiry date. And when the time expires, no matter how high you have gone, if you come back to Jesus, you will go down first and start again. I was sharing the other day, as I was sharing it, and in recent time, I have had different guys from church come to tell me, Pastor, me, I've visited so place. I've done this, I've done that. And I say, yes. Sometimes they will give you something to put in your mouth. They are connecting you back to idolatrous foundation. Now, but say, Pastor, but what does that concern? Wait. When people accepted Christ into their heart as the Lord and personal Savior in the New Testament, one of the things the apostles told to them, they had a meeting. The apostles now said, you see all these Gentiles, they have been serving, I would have read all of them from scripture. Everything is clear. I don't speak without scriptures. It's because of time. Now, he said, you see all these Gentiles that are coming to the faith, they are all coming from idolatrous foundations. They are all coming from the place where they have been serving other idols. And this is God, the living God that is jealous. And they cannot serve those idols and serve God. Oh God. At a point, they started telling them, they said, you cannot leave the table of God, the Holy Communion. You come to eat the communion and you go back and eat the communion of your gods. He said, not possible. Tell them that they cannot do that. Why? If they continue to do that, the gods that their parents have served and they left to come to Christianity, we will be putting a serious bargain on their life and their destiny and saying we still legally have this person. Why? He or she is still interacting with us. He or she still comes to our table. Why do you think it belongs to you? And God, the creator of heaven and earth, will also not accept that you do two. Never. It has to be one. And thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. Why? Spirits are very jealous. And whenever anything happens, they want to know who's taking the glory. And that's why God said, my glory will I not share with any other. He will not do something for you, and tomorrow they will say that it was Shango that did it. He will not do something for you, and when they're supposed to worship him, they say it was Ifa that did the thing. So God will say, disconnect from Ifa, and completely disconnect. Let me show you my glory. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? I know why I'm taking this. I've never taken most of us this route. Why? Because I just teach you new creation reality. Because I know that if you follow the things that we are teaching, you will not need to come back to know these things. But because of the number of people I see fraternizing with Satan, fraternizing with all manner of demons, fraternizing with all manner of people who wear suits now, and they are coming from those altars, Satan has disguised himself as an agent of light. We need to go back to the roots and start telling people, see, we are coming from somewhere. Is anybody got what I'm saying here? So what do these altars do? Let me just say it here, then I wrap up. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses also built an altar. Altars are places where people call upon the name of God for a memorial. Altars empower the destinies of men, give them backing, and make them almost invincible. So you see somebody doing some very powerful, dangerous things. You think he's just the one as a normal human being. No, normal mortals cannot do the kind of things that he's doing. He's empowered by gods. He's empowered by spirits. And all these altars and all these things they call gods, they are sponsored by demon spirits, fallen angels that have made a vow that for God to have thrown them down, they will do as much as they can to deceive people and drag them to their own nets. Go and read the book of Genesis. One of the things that God detests so much, God hates passionately. He said, don't serve any other God. He said, the nations that I'm driving away before you, they serve other gods. That's why I'm driving them away. I will drive them away and put you. That's why God did not mind that if anybody stands, they will wipe them off. Why? He wanted to raise a new generation. Are we here together? So somewhere along the line, you realize that somebody now gets to a point, you come to church, but because some things are not yet working the way you expect them to work, and because you do not know scripture, that the Bible says they who through faith and patience obtain the promise, you now say that those devils are faster. They are not faster. The only problem is that they know that the person is in their hand. So they will promise for a while. There's nothing the devil gives that can last. Only what God does is permanent and lasts forever. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Because very soon, somebody will say, if you know you want to get that guy, let me take you to one baba. They are taking you back to the altars that your father served. It will not look like it is, but there is a network of connection of those demons. And by the time you go to that place, and they eventually do something, and the guy begins to like you, they have roped you back. So there's a rope holding you. You are back to idol worship. Why will God in the New Testament be telling us things that are the works of the flesh? And one of them he mentioned, idolatry. He should have known that in our generation, it will not be rampant. No, he knew and he saw that the way it will come in our generation will be very different. And many people are saying that idolatry in the New Testament is when you love something more than God. Yes, but can I tell you, there's a degree of idolatry that is becoming so practical now. Go and check online. Somebody's saying that, why won't we go back to our African tradition? Why won't we go back to things our fathers did? It's like the children of Israel saying they want to go back to Egypt to start eating cucumber and garlics, and they will die as slaves. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I live for you. For you alone. Every breath that I take, I am. Every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. Time you see the consistency of a pattern, there is an altar sponsoring it. Everybody in the marriage, in the family will have to go through this pattern. And this is the issue they will have in life, sir. Those things are never coincidence. It will be a very foolish person to think that something happened to A and happened to B and happened to C and is happening to D and it is a coincidence. Are we that daft? There are families even outside Nigeria and American families where they have serious patterns. They check the family of Max Jukes and Jonathan Edwards. I've shared it with us here before. And in Max Jukes' family, they saw prostitutes, drunkards. Why did that search start? Somebody started seeing the same surname. The same surname. They were always having issues. This one is a prostitute. This one is a drunkard. This one is a thief. And they were all, many of them, jailed. Ah! And they started seeing the same surname. That in that surname, they had vice president, they had senators, they had president, many powerful people in the U.S. So they did a search. And when they compared the search, I've done that trip, but I don't know if media has it. They now went to check the family. Even white people have the kind of patterns that repeat in their families. You know about U.S. Go and check Brazil. Go and check Mexico. These are white nations that are still in the dark. Go and check China. What is Hindu? What is Buddha? The number of people who serve and worship Hindu and Buddha in China and in, what do you call it now? In India and in China, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. And some of these nations, at a point, Christianity got there and broke through with light. But somehow, the devil dragged those people back to their idol worship. South Korea became one of the most popular. I want to show you so that you know that there is a major warfare going on between light and darkness. And God is saying that in this dispensation, He wants to raise sons of light, those that will shine in the darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. Many of those nations, South Korea, where Dr. Yonggi Cho was the head, now the number of Christians in South Korea, do the Google search and check, percentage of believers in South Korea, almost everything seemed like it dropped. Turkey was a Christian nation, heavy Christian nation. And somehow, as a result of laxity of the believers, relaxed and liberal Christianity. Let's just do it anyhow. Let's just say anyhow now. They have gone back. And today, only a very minute percentage of people are called Christians in Turkey. The plan of the devil is to take them back. And it will not come with the normal style. Idolatry will look like it is just fashionable and normal until Satan begins to raise his kingdom. But the Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above other mountains, and all nations shall do what? Flow to it. So what I'm sharing with you tonight, I'm not sharing it because I just feel like saying something. I shared it because a demon appeared to me and told me that he's the one supervising my family. And I said, you? How? And after I came out of that revelation, I knew in my heart that the reason why certain patterns repeat in certain people is because of the demons. My dad fought strong and stood for God and laid a foundation for us. I'm not building on a fresh foundation. I'm building on a foundation that has been laid in Christ already. Some of us are second generation Christians, third generation. What I am talking now, my children don't even have any business much. Why? They will grow to know just Jesus. Jesus. So when you are sharing these things like it is to some of us, you'll be surprised. Say, why? Because a foundation has been laid. How about some of us that nobody has laid any foundation? You will have to be the arrowhead. And as the arrowhead, if you want to fight, Pharaoh does not always want to let go. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? The first step to encountering God, if you really want to experience that turnaround, it's called genuine repentance. Turn away, that's what God tells them. Whenever they came to the church and they want to serve God in the early church, they told them, turn away from the idols, turn away from the things that you have believed, and genuinely serve God. Child of God, listen to me. There are many people who are not genuinely, they have not turned away. They have not turned away. To turn away is to do a 360 degree turn. To turn away is to say that I'm not going to live the way I used to live. I'm not going to do the same thing I used to do. Why? The gods, all those devils, there are many things that they endorse that this new altar, the altar of the blood of Jesus, does not endorse. And the reason why you can have somebody born again and is still indirectly serving those false devils, not mentioning their name, but in character, in attitude, in behavior. The Bible says, whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, that person's slave you have become. Romans chapter 6. This is not an Old Testament talk, I'm telling you now. If you begin to follow the desires of the flesh, the Bible says, whoever follows the desire of the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And what is the plan of the devil? John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So what would the devil do? How will I get them? Your greatest battle will be with the flesh. 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 I shared in that revelation. I asked God, I said, why could he not enter? Why is it like everywhere was sealed? And he said, because the edge is not broken, the serpents cannot bite. I now remember the Ecclesiastes. The edge is broken. Job had the edge. Every person, as soon as you get born again, there is an edge that is created around you. Immediately. You don't need to do anything by yourself. The day you accept Jesus Christ, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. You just made that simple confession. You don't know what you did. You entered a new covenant. But because we just did it 2 minutes in front of an altar, people will just think it's ordinary. No, those who serve devils, when they go to their altars, their own takes time. Sometimes they will cook the person for 5 days. Sometimes they will have some incantations recited over. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? And when they do it, they will say some things, I say some things, I say some things, I say some things. And after they have said it, the person will repeat it. They will say it, the person will repeat it. They will say it, the person will repeat it. That is idol worship. But God now gave us a very simple way that if thou can believe in thy heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believes, and with the mouth, confession is made. Because it is very simple, that's why many people are taking it for granted. So the person came to the altar and he made that confession and did not know that as soon as you made that confession, you were automatically moved from darkness. You were bundled out of darkness into light. You were automatically moved from the position of sitting with Satan and you were brought to sit together with God. Many are not aware, and that's the reason why the first thing you see when I read yesterday, he said, put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, what does an helmet do? When you wear an helmet, you have assurance of safety. Many people don't understand the assurance of their salvation. So the devil is still asking them, are you sure you are saved or you are not saved? And as soon as that argument starts, the hedge is broken. Why? Doubt breaks the hedge. Satan will do everything to make you doubt your salvation. Satan will make you do everything to make you feel like you are not born again. Satan will make you do everything to make you feel like you are useless. That there's nothing much about you. Is it that small confession you just made that made you say, it's a lie. It's a lie. Satan will be telling you, you can't serve God. You, I know you now. I know your weakness. That's the voice of the devil. You must be able to tell the devil, no, I made up my mind. I have genuinely repented. How many people know that they come to the altar and they confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, but in their heart, they know that the same exact thing I used to do before, I'm going back to it. I'm not sorry about it. It's different when you say, I fall into sin. I made a mistake. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, we talked about three dimensions the other day. Pastor Joshua talked about it. Sin, transgression, and iniquity. Sin is very simple. I missed the mark. Transgression is very simple. I've crossed my line. Iniquity is very simple. I have conceived that sin in my heart and I have decided to just do it. There's nothing I can do about it. Whatever God likes, so let him do. That's iniquity. And that's why the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall do what? Wax cold. And when their love wax cold, they will not be perfected in love. And when they are not perfected in love, the hedge is broken. And as soon as the hedge is broken, the serpent begins to bite. They will not go back to the gods of their fathers and start bowing down. But all the things in the covenant that they wrote that repeated in the life of the people who have left it will start repeating in their lives. They will start falling the same kind of illness, the same kind of behavior, the same kind of occurrence. Everything begins to repeat in their life. And they will say, it is just a pattern. It just happened to her. Maybe it's just happened to me. It's a lie. Patterns are real. So I charge you today, the first thing you must understand, to break away from patterns completely. If in your bloodline, you know that nobody ever goes to the wedding without pregnancy. Your own covenant is to close your leg. Or else you will repeat the same thing. And how would the devil do it? It is sin. The sin is fornication. If you stay there, you will repeat their errors. Even your family line, anger is what always makes them lose all quality relationships and their lives will go down. The same thing the devil will bring as an obstacle to your way. If you don't deal with that anger, and what did the Bible say? It said, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let your anger be raised as an instrument of revenge. If you continue with that anger, the same thing that killed other people has the right to kill. Why? What God has said in his own covenant that you should not gamble with is what you are gambling with. You say, but Pastor, I am born again. I'm a child of God. Yes, you are born again. God will forgive you of your sins. That is very simple. But the truth is this, because the edge is broken and you continuously and consistently happen like that, you have given the devil a foothold into your life. You have given him access. So you profess Jesus, you declare him as your Lord and your Savior, but actually you just know him as Savior. You don't know him as Lord. Because Lord is somebody you submit to and do whatever the person asks you to do. Wait. Take this thing so that I can close and continue our worship. If you go to Shango Shrine or wherever and they enter a covenant with you, after they've entered the covenant with you, they will tell you, use this thing by 12 o'clock. By 11:30, you are awake already. Because they would have told you that if you don't use it by 12 o'clock, one of your eye will go blind. They come to you and they say, this particular thing that we are... You see, let me tell you something. Many people don't know God. That God is loving. He's wonderful. That's why you don't see instant judgment. If you go back to the Old Testament and check, you'll be seeing instant judgment everywhere. But why God is not doing instant judgment again? The Bible says God is doing it so that all men will repent and come to him. He wants to do a fast track movement to get many people in. But guess what? The heart of people is still hardened despite what God is doing. Despite his overwhelming love. Despite the care. Despite the attention, despite the fact that he's saying that, okay, make a mistake and come back. Don't go back there. I don't care. And guess what? The demons and the devils that people visit, when they give them terms and conditions, they keep to the terms and the conditions, true or false. You might not know, but when you read the Bible, Jesus said it very simply. He said it, if you love me, keep my commandments. My yoke is easy. My burden is what? Light. And there is a popular... noise going around town telling people, don't worry, if you just do it, Jesus loves you. He still loves you. Let me tell you the truth. That's not a lie. God, even before you go up on again, he loved you. You don't understand. Before you go up on again, he died because of you. But guess what? You can never enter your inheritance as a son. Why? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And sonship is a place where you begin to manifest and exercise the rights of sonship. A son, as long as he remains a child, the Bible says he does not differ from a slave. Look at the qualification. He will be kept under custody. The day he grows, we will hand over everything to him. If he fails to grow, he will remain there forever. That's where many believers in church are. Unfortunately, many people are comfortable with that position. What would you transfer to your children? Especially many of us who are young here. What do you want to transfer to your children? A reckless, careless, I don't care religion? Something that does not have any weight? The culture, the lifestyle of the Christian faith has been disregarded. I shared with you on Saturday. I said, if nobody is cautioning you in your house and you are doing anything wrong, you are from a dysfunctional home. In a functional home where there is anything wrong, there will be correction. There will be discussions. This thing should not happen again. But if you are from a dysfunctional home, you can decide by yourself that you will build a functional home. And it starts now by making up your mind that I will do it better. I will raise a standard. I will live well. I have seen many people in my short life on earth. I have been around. And I have seen many people bright, sparkling with life, with thoughts that they were going to excel and do very well until they started fraternizing with Satan, demons, and altars. And their lives started going down. They did not even fraternize directly. Some of them gave themselves to certain things that Satan took as an advantage, entered their life, and settled in their family. May the devil not settle in any family. May the devil not settle in any life. I believe that with what you have heard today, you are willing to rise up with your heart and say, I'm going to do the right thing. Some of us have not genuinely repented, meaning that you know that you have said, Jesus, I love Jesus, but you are going back and still living the same old life. No. Make up your mind. I will serve God and I will follow him. See, Satan will not take a casual person. God will accept you inside. But he said, if you are lukewarm, you are neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. In other words, you are not useful to me if you are just ordinary. But when you are hot, like a sharp sickle, then I can walk with you. Are you getting what I'm saying right now? Rise up on your feet tonight. Lift up your voice and begin to talk to God and say, God, help me tonight. I want a genuine change of heart. Some of us have changed genuinely, you know, yes, but just give God thanks that the things that you are hearing today are things that you are already practicing. And some of us who know that somehow I'm just living my own. I go to church, I come around, but there's no, the encounter is not real. The encounter is not real. I don't have that genuine encounter. I know by myself that I've not made up my mind to serve God, but I love church. That is wonderful to even know that you have a heart for God. But listen, that you just have that heart is not enough. You must accept Him and you must follow Him. Your protection and your hedge will not be taken away. It will not be taken away. God doesn't take it away. People by themselves are the ones that take away their hedge and take away their protections. Why? Because of the way they have chosen to live. If you walk in the flesh and fulfill the desires of the flesh, the things of the flesh will be your harvest. If you walk in the Spirit and fulfill the desire of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit will be your harvest. Can you begin to talk to God wherever you are tonight? Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I live for you. I live for you, Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. One more time, let's do it together. Say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I live for you. I live for you, oh Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. You're here tonight, you say, Pastor Mavis, I want to accept Jesus into my heart genuinely as my Lord and personal Savior. Now I understand that the repentance has to be genuine. I have to be real. I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to live the kind of life. Even though I've been given the righteousness of Jesus, I need to walk in righteousness. I need to walk in righteousness. I need to stay true to my calling. I need to uphold my place in Christ. I need to stand and say, I know what happened to me. I was moved from darkness into light. I will not fraternize with darkness anymore. I need to be able to say, I have been moved to sit in heavenly places. I will not find myself fraternizing with anything that has to do with the low life anymore. Can you raise your hand? You want to accept Jesus into your life as your Lord and personal Savior. When repentance is genuine, your heart will show it. It will be from your heart. It will be from your heart. It will be very real from your heart. God bless you. Wherever you are, raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray with you. Can you find your way to this altar? Just rush down here. I'm going to pray with you. You want to make a genuine commitment to Jesus and start afresh, so that you will not repeat negative patterns, so that the devils that have disturbed others in your foundation, they have no root over your life anymore. Can you keep coming? Keep coming. I'm going to pray with you. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I live for you. Please keep coming. Keep coming. I'm going to pray with you. Those of you that have consulted some strange altars, they made marks and incisions, and you know you don't have that quality relationship with Jesus. They are dragging you back to evil sources. Can you come to Jesus and hand over everything to Him? Say, Lord, I give you my... Wherever you are, if you are upstairs, come down. If you are online, indicate. If you are online, indicate. We are going to reach out to you wherever you are. Shaba namanagaba yabababa. Every breath that I take, yes, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
Listen, when they took you to that place, it was an exchange of destiny. It will be a period of time, 5 to 10 years, that you will shine like the brightness, then you will wither. That's the plan. Nothing comes from the devil and lasts. Nothing. Some of us have friends that you know like that. Yeah, no wonder. No wonder. It is real. These things are real. And your safe refuge is in Jesus. As you come out and I pray with you today, listen to me. You are literally picked from darkness into light. So the Bible says, live as those who are in the light. There is light inside of you. There is fire burning. Satan is afraid. That's why if you live here now, he will start telling you, I know you, can't do it. Never. You are coming back. Some things you have thought that you are going to leave, all of a sudden they will start telling you, you have to continue. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the only way you can be anything in your life. It's a lie. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Jesus said, I have come that they will have life and have it abundantly. I have met many young men in my life who told me their encounters of how they consulted with certain people and they made some incantations, made marks and told them things, and their lives started going down. It took prayer, stretching them out. And many of the times it will look like they are starting afresh with their life. But watch them, 2, 3, 4, 5 years of consistency, the brightness begins to show up again. I've seen things over a while in my life. I've been preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ for not less than 19 years, consistently. I have met people, I have encountered people, and I know in my life that Jesus is the only light that can deliver anybody. Jesus is the only light. The reason why a guy can talk you with jazz and you come and stay in his house and pack your bag is because you don't have an altar. If you have a fire altar, no devil can speak nonsense to you. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? Yes. The reason why a lady can envelope a guy in the pocket and just turn you to useless person all around town is because you don't have an altar. If you have an altar, no devil can put you in that position. You must know who you are. In this generation, don't serve the devil. Wherever you ask your hands, as you are here in front of me, can you just stretch your hands forward? Let me pray with you. You're going to make these confessions after me. It's a simple confession. In shrines, they do a lot of talk, but we don't do too much. We do very simple. And what we do in this simplicity is everlasting life that you will get. If the trumpet of God sounds now, even if you have done anything before, no matter how bad, heaven is where you belong. Why? You made a confession of Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. And as soon as you have done this, have assurance of salvation. The devil will tell you it's a lie. Yeah, no, it's not true. Tell him, shut up, devil. Get out of my space. I know who I am. I have confessed Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I'm committed to him. And those of us who are committed to Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you continue to fraternize with the devil, he can hold you until you say, no, leave me alone. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. Can you say after me here, Lord Jesus? Today, I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my personal Savior. Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. Everything that I have done, contrary to your plan, your will, and your purpose for my life, I receive forgiveness of sin, made available by the blood. I am cleansed by the blood, purchased by the blood to live a new life. From today, I serve Jesus with the whole of my heart. It is a U-turn, and I'm not going back anywhere. I will stay in him, rooted and grounded all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now listen, our ushers are going to get your details. We need to follow up on you so that you can always get messages on daily basis for some time, at least from about 14 days to 21 days. You can consistently build. Because if you don't build, chances are that the devil will... Chances are the devil will come and start telling you things. It's a lie. Is it that small thing you just said? You, I know you. You can't serve God. I know you. The temptation will be very high. But can I tell you the truth? There is a wall of glory around you already. So what must you do? As soon as the devil is coming and he's saying things, so you'll be talking back. In this kingdom, we talk. When the devil says you will fall, he says, I cannot fall. God is by my side. You might not know many scripture yet, but just keep telling him, I cannot fall. God is by my side. I am standing on the rock called Jesus Christ. I am the light. This light is inside of me. No darkness can hold me. Some of us will have, if you have had serious confrontation with demonic altars, I can guarantee you some of those forces can come in the middle of the night. But don't be afraid. You know why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't let any devil tell you, yes, they will take, you can't take me anywhere. I belong to Jesus all the days of my life. Your confession will be loud and clear. As soon as you start shouting like that, Jesus, they will lose their grip. So you must keep building yourself up. So in case there is a confrontation, something in your dream, don't be scared. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't be afraid. The things that are reacting, anytime you touch fire, Satan will react. But if you stay in fire, anytime he comes close, he will be burned. The Lord is your strength.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.